Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're beginning in verse 26, and this is God's Word. "They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me.' For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Legion,' he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, 'Return home and tell how much God has done for you.' So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, this is not by any stretch the only recorded exorcism in Luke's gospel. Luke has repeatedly up to this point told about Jesus not only healing sick people, but casting out demons, healing those who were ill, and delivering and healing those who were oppressed by evil forces. What are these evil forces? What are these demons? We get more info in this section because Luke goes into more detail. But what's a demon? I'm going to give you just a very brief summary of some points from Scripture. You know what an angel is. An angel is a very powerful, intelligent, created being. It is a spirit being, but angels often in Scripture interact with people. Luke certainly talks about an angel coming to visit Mary and announcing to her what God was going to do in sending his son via her, a virgin, But what about demons? Satan is not the other side of the force. If you get your theology from Star Wars or from popular culture, you may think of kind of the yin and the yang. You know, there's the light side and the dark side. No, you need to understand that God is eternal and God is almighty, and everything else in creation has a start date and limited power. Limited power. But demons are fallen angels, angels who did not keep their first position in heaven, but joined with Lucifer or Satan in his rebellion against God, and they were cast out with him from heaven. But they are very busy here on earth. Now, you and I are likely to live just on average in this culture at this time, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 years. Okay? How long does a demon live? Well, they've been around since the garden. Okay? They've been around a long, long, long time. And when a person who is very wicked and animated by demonic forces is killed because of the bad things that they've done. Let's take a Hitler, for example. The demons that encouraged Hitler to do what he did, they don't die with him. They're still around. And the same evil spirits that know about your great-grandparents' behavior and your grandparents' behavior and your parents' behavior have a pretty good idea who you are and what you're up to, because they work at tempting people, at harassing people, at afflicting people, enticing people to do things. And as people submit their wills to those forces, they gain more and more control. If you allow yourself to surrender and let that other force begin to control you, you will find that it is very tough to resist. And that is why when people engage in a pattern of sin, they often find themselves not just fighting their sinful flesh, but actually fighting evil forces that are very intelligent, very powerful, and know how to keep people in bondage. This is very often the case with addictions of various kinds.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Wares Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Wares Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
When Jesus first came ashore, he was already commanding the evil spirit in that man to come out, because Jesus was able to recognize that this was spiritual warfare. Here's a naked man who Mark tells us, Luke doesn't mention this, was cutting himself with stones. That's self-harming. Jesus is commanding the spirit to come out. And the spirits recognize Jesus. And so this demoniac, motivated by evil spirits, runs to Jesus and falls on his knees and calls out at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Why would he say that? Because the demons not only knew who Jesus is, they know that Jesus has authority, and they know that their time is limited, and that one day with Satan, they will be cast into the abyss. And they're thinking, man, I hope we're not that far along in the schedule. So they're begging Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. And they ask permission instead to go into a herd of swine. Why? Well, they just like pigs. No, because they wanted to do in the pigs what they had been doing in the man. What were they doing in the man? They were driving him toward self-destruction. What did they do in the herd of pigs? They drove the herd of pigs down the cliff into the Sea of Galilee and drowned them. You know what Satan wants for you? He's got a plan for your life. You know what that demon that's trying to get you to do stuff you know you shouldn't do is really up to? He's not trying to turn you on to something that's great. Boy, this is going to be wonderful. He may tell you that, but he knows better. He knows that the more you do what he says, the more you are headed for destruction. So when Jesus says to this demoniac and to the demons within him, "What's your name?" And they answer, "Legion." A legion was a large group of Roman soldiers, numbering up to 6,000. You think there were 6,000 demons in that man? Not necessarily. Demons are also liars. But there was a whole bunch of them, and that's what it says in the text, and that's how I know. This guy didn't just have a demon. Demons like to work in a gang, in a group. And so if a person struggles with this evil spirit, they're likely to also struggle with this evil spirit and probably also this evil spirit. So are you saying people are just walking around filled with demons? No, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that some people are, and they were in Jesus' day, and they still are today. And in fact, don't lose your place in Luke, but I want you to turn to Ephesians. I mention this from time to time, but I want us to look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air," that's Satan, "the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." This is the universal condition of all unsaved people. All of us used to be in this situation, part of the kingdom of darkness, meaning we were yielding our will to evil forces. Well, what about our own sin nature? Well, that's described right here. We were following, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. But Satan was there in the form of his demons, pouring gasoline on the fire, encouraging us to give in to those sinful impulses. We've said before that it is not a sin to be tempted. But that doesn't mean that there's no such thing as a sinful desire. We all, in our flesh, have a desire to do things that are wrong. All of us do. We have a natural bent toward selfishness, dishonesty, hypocrisy, pride, all kinds of fleshly sins. But Satan wants to exploit those, and the demons seek to fan those embers into flame and encourage us to do things that we know we shouldn't, thereby submitting our wills to the tempter, just as Adam and Eve did. Well, where is there a cure? Well, verse 4 of Ephesians 2, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. It was demonic involvement that motivated that man to break those chains, to flee from supervision, and to do self-harming things. Jesus didn't say, hey, buddy, you're going to have to learn to do better. Jesus cast the demons out of the man. And they went into the swine so that everybody could see this is Satan's game. This is what he's up to. Well, it was very dramatic, and the townspeople had just taken a huge hit to their economy. And so the guys who were supposed to be taking care of the pigs and had just lost the whole herd ran into town and told what had happened, and the townspeople came out, and sure enough, the pigs are dead. Bunch of pig corpses floating in the water. But there's something else they saw. The man that they had tried and tried and tried and tried to control without success, that man who had been naked and bleeding was now clothed and in his right mind and seated at the feet of Jesus. And they said, wow. Hate to lose the pigs, but what you've done for him is tremendous. Can you please help us with some other folks back in town? I've got a relative that I'm really concerned about. Is that what they said? No, what they said, if you compare it in Mark's gospel, there's more detail. What they said was almost exactly a mirror image of what the demons said. Don't send us from this region. What do they say here? When the Chamber of Commerce shows up, they all said, please leave our region. This is our territory. One of the things you find about demons in Scripture is they're territorial. Look at the book of Daniel and see what it says about the prince of Persia. When an angel is talking to him about why he was delayed in bringing a message from God to Daniel. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, which reminds us that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The terminology that Paul uses there to describe these evil forces is a list of expanding geographical hierarchy that mirrors the Roman army. Paul's saying the demons are organized that way. And let me just tell you, there are territorial spirits just as there are family spirits. Spirits that go from generation to generation. And I don't mean that against your will, you're possessed because grandpa was. What I mean is when grandpa's gone, they don't say, well, we're going to move on to another family. They will continue generation after generation to try and push people toward self-destruction through sin. And in geographic areas, there are demonic strongholds. There are strong men that need to be bound. And one of the blessings of this place, where there is often such intense spiritual warfare, is that over the years, enormous progress has been made, so much so that We've had strangers who said, when I came onto the property, what is this place? When I came onto the property, I sensed the presence of the Lord. We've had kids who, when they first got here, within 24 hours, were saying, God lives here. You know why? God lives here. Well, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. We believe that. Well, of course we believe that. But God manifests his presence in a very special way when his people come together to worship him. He promised he would, and he keeps his promises. But I'll tell you this, the enemy wants to do everything he can to destroy your life, to harm you and to use you to harm others. And if you recognize in yourself the fact that I've got a sin nature, I have evil desires, I hope you'll also recognize that the tempter is very real and that he will try and take advantage of that and lie to you and tell you it's okay. Go ahead. You deserve it. He's a liar and the father of lies. That's why we're told we need to take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. When that thought pops into your head and you're thinking that's what you want to do, pause and say, now, wait a minute. Is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this what the Lord would have me do? And realize that those demons can speak through other people, suggesting to you, hey, why don't you do this? Have you ever tried this? Maybe you ought to do this. Pastor Wood, I think you're making that up. Well, let me give you an example. Saint Peter, hearing Jesus describe the fact that he was going to be crucified, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, don't talk like that. Don't say this. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you just don't understand. I know you're trying to encourage me to have a positive attitude, but you'll understand later. Is that what Jesus said? No, what did he say? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Wow. Because Jesus recognized that Lucifer could speak through Peter. Now, why do we need to understand this? Because, folks, this is the reality that we live in every day. And the sad thing is, most people don't recognize it. We are living in a culture that is increasingly overt in its demonic manifestations. The evil things that people are doing in our culture are increasingly wicked, increasingly blatant, increasingly insane. And our culture is not only tolerating it, our culture is persecuting people who don't think it's okay. What is going on? Chains are being broken on a supernatural level. People are determined to do what is suggested in their minds. And the path is toward destruction. You have been called out by God and given the opportunity to follow him. Jesus is far stronger than any demons, no matter if it's 6,000. They feared Jesus. And the people from town were motivated by the same kind of spirits, saying, please leave our region. They were afraid, just like the demons in that man were afraid. Please leave us alone. So Jesus left them. And the man who'd been healed said, please let me go with you. Jesus said, no, I want you to go home and tell everybody what God's done for you. And so the man did. When you've been set free by Jesus, don't keep it a secret. You need to tell people what he's done for you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.